Welcome to the concluding episode of the Life Podcast, hosted by the Tales of an African Princess in America and the Pretty in Pink Podcast. The theme of the Life Podcast is love, sex, and relationships. Hope you enjoy it.
The next question is, how important is sexual compatibility in a relationship?
I think that sexual compatibility in a relationship or marriage is important, like, at the end of the day. Like, that's really what it is. Because, and I'm not saying you have to figure out your sexual compatibility in the very beginning. You can learn and grow with each other and build with each other. And then if later on that happens before marriage, I think at this point in our lives that it's not like a deal breaker, you know? But if you have that conversation with your partner and your partner respects you enough and you're telling them that you want to wait until marriage and your partner doesn't want to wait, then that's not the person for you, because that's not someone who's really trying to grow with you. But if you find someone that's willing to wait with you and, like he said, y'all happen to slip up, I think that that's someone that you can continue to grow with. And back to the compatibility part, if things are off in the bedroom, I feel like things will be off in a marriage and a relationship, honestly. Because you have to feel connected not only in the house, outside the house, but in the bedroom. So if a man comes back every day and he doesn't feel that connection, especially coming back from what's happening in this world today, just like them having to work three times harder to get to the same positions as other people, and then not coming home and being able to feel connected to you, I think that's the issue. And for women, and I feel like that's a lot of reason why people are stepping out in marriages and relationships now.
Would you do sex therapy if everything else is lining up financially, spiritually, emotionally, but in the bedroom he's just not meeting your needs? Would you?
I mean, I guess it would just depend on, like, where the compatibility is lacking. If it's, like, experience, then yes. But if it's size, then I don't know how you... I'm not sure. Therapy can really do for that.
Hi, y'all. My name's Michelle. I have a podcast called Petty Party Podcast. So, hey, Crystal. I didn't know you were there. Okay. Something exciting in the last 6 months. Today is October, so 6 months back. That's between now and April. I had to think. I think the most exciting thing I did was I went to Thailand, and that's not a big deal. But anybody that knows me, like, that's been on my bucket list since I was born. I don't know where it came from, but I just felt like if you went to Thailand, like, you went somewhere far. Now that I've been there, I'm kind of just like, okay. Literally, it's just like, okay. I wasn't like, it was still exciting, but like, it puts wanderlust inside you. You know what I mean? But that was pretty exciting and stuff like that. So,
okay. Next question.
Next question is.
Oh, me?
No.
What was the question?
It was about sex.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So for me, sexual compatibility is really important. My whole life, okay, so I'll tell you this. I had a 72-year-old woman come into this office and ask me and say to me that the first time she had ever, you remember this? The first time that anybody had ever asked her about sex in a physician office was me. I asked it to every patient. I'm going to ask you, do you have pain? Do you have, like, desire? And do you have orgasms? I ask every single patient. And we sit down and we talk. And you should hear what the worlds have to say in my office, okay? So for me, I think that that's really important. The truth about sex is that sex is really legislated. It's legislated, but then it's required for human life, right? Because in order for us to procreate and have babies and like, live on our next generation, we have to have sex, but then we can only have it at a certain time after marriage. Like, that's literally what a lot of traditional societies have said. So that's a problem, right? Because everybody's having it because it's happening. And so I think that avoiding the conversation about sex is problematic. That's what I think. And for me, that goes in my relationship as well as outside of my relationship. It's okay to have a conversation and say that you're not going to have sex right now. That's okay, but you had the conversation about it. It's okay to have a conversation and say that you're having sex for a purpose. Like, I want to have a baby, so I'm going to have sex at this time every day, or, you know, at this time, you know, every other day for this certain period of time because I'm going to try to have a baby. That's okay. Or if you do it for pleasure, that's okay. But I think that for me, it's really important. It's actually central. And I think it's not just even about like the procreation part. It's about the intimacy. It's about the needs of a person. It's about making sure that your partner is fulfilled in the relationship. So I did a lot of roundabout because my mother is listening. Thank you.
I kind of caught that. Well, I just wanted to add something. You talked about orgasms, and that's something I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you asked a question earlier about the dynamics of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I grew up in Nigeria, and whether I like it or not, I feel like, oh, I'm like the modern Nigerians. I'm a little feminist and a little bit of that and this and that. But I realized that I'm actually, the way I think is actually programmed by the things that I heard growing up. Mm-hmm. So like, in the bedroom, without giving out too much, I felt like there were times when I faked it. Yeah, right? I felt that it was like a trophy to satisfy. Oh, yeah, I felt like, oh, I satisfied him. Oh, I'm good, you know? And after a while, I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, this is a partnership. Mm-hmm. We need to satisfy each other. And so we had that talk. I'm like, no, let's do those times that I was I was screaming. When you hear that pitch, that's fake. Like, you know? Mm-hmm. But I had to get to a point where I realized that it's not, how are we going to go on like this? You know, we have to have that talk. And I think that a lot of women are still trapped in that mindset of, I want to please my husband. Mm-hmm. But you need to realize that it's, you have to please each other. And so that's important.
Level of openness in the relationship that you can even have that conversation.
That was a big deal because no one talked to me about sex growing up. Mm-hmm. It was like this forbidden thing that once you get married, explore. Mm-hmm. And then you get married and you don't know what you're doing because you haven't had it enough to. And that's another thing. Like, is anyone really born with the skills? Is anyone really born with the skills?
She said mean girls.
No, seriously, like, if you want to get better at it, you need to have more of it, basically. Yes. You need to be open enough to explore. And so just understanding that you're not, you're pointing fingers at your partner saying, hey, you need to satisfy me, but you need to understand that you're not the shit either. Mm-hmm. Like, you can learn a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so being open enough, but it was hard, I have to tell you. And so now it opened that line of communication where he's like, do you like what I'm doing? Like, what is it that you want? And it was really crucial for me. It was really important for me. And I didn't realize it was that important until we had that conversation. So it's just something that,
yeah.
Ladies, it's also important that you start that conversation early in marriage.
Yeah.
That's true.
Even if you need to, mm-hmm. make yourself vulnerable.
I will say this, you know, it's kind of weird. I actually have this really weird relationship with a lot of my friends, especially the ones that I grew up with when I lived in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. They feel because I'm a gynecologist, I can't tell their secrets. So they tell me a lot of stuff. And one thing I have to say is I really feel really saddened by like the trap that we have as women, because a lot of women are told sex is bad, yeah. Sex is mm-hmm. horrible, sex is bad, sex is horrible. You're married, now open your leg wide. And yes. Just like, and these girls, it doesn't change because you walked across an aisle with a white dress and you told everybody that you were this virgin, and it doesn't. And a lot of people, like, they get in these relationships and it is horrific for them. They have this person that's like,
yeah, that's it.
And you're like, this is what, and they're like, this is what it is that people have been telling me not to have all this time. Like, what is this? And I have people that call me literally from Nigeria crying, devastated, because they're like they had this idea of what it was supposed to be, and they're not kids. I'm 33 and I'm the youngest of my friends, so I'll put that in context for you. And we really grew up in this community where everybody was so strict. And so now that it has happened, you find out, oh, maybe I have endometriosis. Now what now? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, sex is painful to me, so what now? And then I say to them, like a great OBGYN, well, have anal sex. They're like, anal? Like, you know, you can imagine, like, you go from, like, never have. So this is the things that people don't get when they're talking to people, talking to women, talking to people. But that was my aside. Benicia.
I was going to say, have you guys ever been in a situation where the sex was like, the
I need you to come back to America. This is your pigeon. I don't even understand it again. Wow.
Now, I can speak from my own experience. It was a very unique situation where after having sex with someone, he actually asked, well, what did you think? Is there anything else that I could have done differently? Did you like when I did this? And when I say shook, I was shook.
She said this and evolved.
I mean, because usually most guys think that, oh, they're doing everything that pleases you and you're, you know, they're A1, when the reality of it is they're just sleeping with you the way that they slept with other people and not taking the time to actually understand you. And I think that it made me step back when I was like, you're asking me how I liked or what you need to add to really make sure that you're pleasing me. That to me spoke volumes that you were wanting to make sure that it wasn't just about you, that I was actually involved in, you know, feeling the intimacy and making sure that I was pleased too. So I think it is important to have those conversations, no matter, you know, how, you know, you feel as far as, oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to. You want to make sure you're satisfied too. It can't always be just about the guy. And I think as African women, we're a condition of this thought process of sex is just for procreation. Our mothers, you know, the stuff that, you know, some of the stuff that we do now, I don't think that our mothers did. And it to them, it would be an abomination to think. But they'll never talk about it. But it is good. I think we definitely need to make sure that we are facilitating those conversations with our significant others, with who we're wanting to be with, to make sure that it's not just about them all the time. Now, with that being said, how much should an engagement ring cost? How much? No, you'd be surprised how many women pay for their engagement ring.
We gotta ask somebody
ring.
That hasn't answered already, so.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, we haven't answered.
Yay.
So we talk about this all the time. All the time. I think because you, of course, okay, I'm not married, I'm not engaged or anything like that. And I think an engagement ring, it just depends. It depends on the man. It depends on, you know, financially where we're at. It depends on the woman. What are you looking for? Like, I know nothing about rings. I don't wear the jewelry. I only wear earrings. So I wouldn't know if somebody was wearing a $2,000 versus a $25,000 ring.
He sparkled at you and slapped you in the eyeball.
Yeah, but I barely even looked, you know?
So he gave you a wink.
I mean, of course, we always hear that, I don't know who created this 3-month.
Yeah. That's what I think.
I saw it on your thing. I saw it on your thing. But I don't know who created the 3-month salary. I mean, I don't want you to go broke or be borrowing from the bank to buy me an engagement ring. I think that if what you can do now is this $5,000 or whatever, what you can do now, and then 10 years from now, whatever, I get a bigger ring, then we're going to do that. Like, yeah, I think it just depends on where the person is, where the man is, and what is the woman looking for. So I don't think an engagement ring has a particular price. Well, then.
So while we're here, you also deserve one of these books because you are also going into the field of medicine. So very excited. So we had this conversation kind of on my IG because, everybody thinks I'm getting engaged except me. And so they're like, how much does the engagement ring cost? So my mom actually had a conversation with me when I was 24 years old. I'll never forget it because this woman made me go outside and garden with her. My mom is a gardener. Who went camping? Somebody talk about going camping.
No, she went camping.
My ancestors did not suffer for that. Mosquito will be biting a homie. No. But my mom had me outside with her and she had this conversation and I was trying to get out of it. And 24, I didn't care. I was in med school. I didn't care really what she was talking about. But she was like, you know what? I've been asking your father for an anniversary ring for 10 years. And let me tell you something, my dear daughter, whatever ring your husband gives you at the engagement, that is the first, that you're telling him the level of acceptance that you will have. I understand that that's her generation, right? It's not our generation. But she was telling to me, like, you're kind of almost putting your value on yourself. If you accept anything, he's going to say, look at her. She even accept this cubic something, zirconia something. Like, you know, she'll just. So it stuck with me. And I felt like, you know what? If you're not ready to get married, work harder. Level up. Because I'm leveling up. So level up. Work harder. Get it together. And it's not really about the ring. It's really not about the show off. But this is something. The ring on your finger is not about you. It's about your man. Is his representation of his like gift to you. And so I feel like for me, I told Kel, I saw this small thing he wanted to give me. I said, babe, we're going to have to work another couple more months because I feel like it's important. Now, I'm never going to pawn the ring. I'm not looking for that. But that's how I see it. And I don't expect anybody else to see it that way. It's just how I see it. What are your thoughts?
It's not that important to me, basically. I wouldn't lie to you. I'd say, oh, it is, but it's not. I appreciate it. You know, I like the size of it. But it's not really important to me. I like other things. I like stuff. I like vacations.
I definitely understand. Yeah.
I would like a house. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, and I've seen people who have really big rings and
live in apartments.
A few months down the line, they pawn it because mm-hmm. things aren't going too right. Mm-hmm. And you can always upgrade if you don't have the same ring. So I think that something I actually think is, and this affected me too with my wedding, is I've been on Instagram for so long and I've seen like glamorous weddings. I'm like, I want that, you know. Social media has a way of making you feel like what's on your finger is not worth, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's just, be real with your man and know what he can afford. Okay. Don't ask him to buy a big rock and go get a loan. Right. I don't. It's okay if you want it, if you want him to get a loan for that, because different things are important. Yeah, I've seen people get loans for weddings, and for me, I don't. It's not something that I would do.
Right.
So if it's important, if it's that important to you, I'll get a loan for something that's important to me. Mm-hmm. So if it's that important to you, yeah, by all means, get it. But for me, it's not.
Quick question, because you said that the ring is a reflection of your husband. So vice versa, the ring that you would get your husband.
I'm getting number what?
The band.
The band?
Yeah, the woman gets it.
Okay, so my thoughts and my culture are a bit different. I'm from a very patriarchal culture. I'm from a very small tribe in Nigeria. I'm Urhobo. So I'm from Delta State. So, and women, like, unfortunately, just don't matter. It's a very patriarchal. So with that being said, I like the other things about it. There are some things that are very, very, very nice about it. So for that, you know, my parents have to pay for the wedding. And the reason why my parents have to pay for the wedding is your mother is not going to tell me to wear her old bridal dress because she's paying for the wedding. You know that.
Also, is it that your parents are paying for the wedding because That's what I want.
Okay. I don't, I've always told my parents have been saving for my wedding since I was 17. So I told them.
You have to be part of
so
this.
I told them a long time ago. Then the second thing is, you know, for him, mm-hmm. it's like, I care. He's going to buy the ring. So I'm not buying him a ring. Mm-hmm. He has to give the eternal whatever. Hey, Kel, I hope you're not listening to this because this might be very stressful for you. But so like he has to give this eternal like symbol because that's what's with a ring, right? Like it never ends and it's eternal and it's infinity of love, blah blah blah. So I want him to get. He needs to buy it for himself. He needs to chain himself to this thing, not me. Like, you know, so that's how I feel about it. But I do have strange views about marriage. I do. I don't think that they're normal or mainstream at all. But you know, it's after a lot of thinking. I'm not marrying as a spring chicken. I'm not marrying like, you know, I'm 21, life is great. No, I've thought about it. I've spent time. I've been engaged twice. This is my third, right? You know, it's not like this is a new thing. I've had fabulous rings and not so fabulous men. And so it is what it is, you know, and yeah.
Okay. Well, the next question would be, how long would you stay in a relationship before a proposal?
Hello. I want to start by saying that there are some incredible women in this room. Aww. Like, I've had the privilege of speaking to a couple that I've just met today, and I really feel honored to be in this presence. So I just wanted to say that. For me, because I'm not a chicken of the spring either, that number has gone down. just because I'm very sure of who I am, and I would want my, whoever he is, to be sure of himself too and know what he wants. And I just don't think it takes all that time, all that much time. So for me, maybe 2 or 3 years before starting the conversation on marriage. Hey, that's all. For me. Yes.
We have seen one season. Fall. Winter. Spring.
Yes. I mean, it's a good answer, and yes. I want to add to that because I do believe that when a guy knows, he knows.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ruthie Galavanti.
Uh-huh. So. I just wanted to thank you very much. And Ozzy is a design. She's a jewelry designer, and she wanted to gift you this, so yeah. She's gonna gift you a set. So go ahead and tell them a little bit about
so.
Thank you.
So I recently just started that, but thank you so much. Truly appreciate you.
Love your spirit. I'm gonna go ahead and ask the next question in regards to. Do you believe there is the one for everyone?
Yes and no. I feel like there's different strokes for different folks. There are people out here who do the poly and, you know, they're okay with being in, what is it, where it's not monogamy? Yeah, where they have two people in a relationship and that works for them. And then there's people like myself, who don't like to share. And it's just me, and it's that person, and we vibe and we connect, and we connect on a different level that we wouldn't with someone else. And I feel like not everyone has that same view, so you just gotta find someone that has the same view as you and connects with you on that level as well. And I feel like that's more than likely gonna be the one for you. And I feel like that that doesn't necessarily mean that there's only one person, you only have one soulmate. I feel like if you have someone and for some reason it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. You will find somebody else who you will connect with on that level, if not more. I don't think that there's only just one person that you're going to connect with. Out of this, how many people? 7 billion, 8 billion people in the world? Yeah. It's not just one person out here for me. There's probably a couple, but, you know, it's everyone has different opinions on that.
Okay. How'd you deal with a bad breakup? I've actually haven't really had a bad breakup because I still maintain friendship with most of my ex.
What?
And my husband doesn't like it.
So you're friends with your ex?
She can attest to that.
She's still friends with her.
You're friends with your ex. So I still have, I still maintain friendship with most of my ex.
What type of ex? Not sexual ex?
Yeah, like sexual
oh,
ex.
Wow.
But we have boundaries because we're not in the same country.
Okay.
But we do talk because, see, the thing with me, like when I was dating, it wasn't always about sexual. You know, like the people you grow up with. So I always grew up knowing people older than me. So I was looking towards, to them for like advice in the relationship world, like business ideas, like, you know. So my relationship wasn't just very monopic, like just us, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So it was always more like a long-term foresight. So even up till today, if let's say if I just say, oh, this is happening, or maybe they're talking to me and they send some type of thing, they still give me like marital advice. So like I have a weird, well, I mean, like, to some people, they don't, it's unique. Yeah, so I still have those type of relationship with, you know, like they tell me things like, okay, you know, like be very vocal. So to your question, I've never really had a bad breakup.
Well, let me add to it then. How is it affecting your marriage? Mm-hmm.
The friendship.
The friendship with your ex.
So if I want to be realistic, because my husband is very manly, likes to assert, you know, like territorial. So he personally doesn't like that. And let's say, for instance, when we went to Nigeria, I introduced him to them.
But are you
both? Wait, I want to hear the introduction.
To your life.
I want to hear the introduction. Like, what was the introduction like?
So most of them was... No, I'm being honest. You know, okay, so I'm more like Ozzy. I grew up, we're five, we're three girls and two boys.
Okay.
And my dad doted on all his girls. Like my dad made it like, just like Dr. Rudy say, you're the shit. If I needed something, like my dad would provide. So like I never struggled telling a man off or telling, you know. So I never really struggled with that because I felt I was the shit, just like she said. So my relationship with men was that I like your intelligence first. And if I can relate with that, then every other thing is very minute. So like with when I introduced my husband and when, you know, we used to do internship, we went to the same school, me and Ozzy. So when we were doing internship, so I would introduce him like, okay, this is my friend, or if you need a little bit more explanation and I couldn't give you, this is my dad's colleague, or if we were in a very intimate relationship, I said we're ex, but he's still a good friend. You know, he's married, I know the family or whatever. So I it was very open. It was an open book. So basically, I did that because I needed you to decide if you wanted me. Because I'm social, but at the same time, I'm reserved. So, like, I didn't need a man to, like, cramp me in, you know. So I very much made that out there, you know. Oh yeah, we do have parameters. I don't call them at. We don't even really talk that much anymore. But I can call you at certain times. I respect your family. Likewise, you do the same for me. You know, like I had a friend who wanted to divorce. I personally advised him not to because it was very petty, like the reason. So like those are things that we talk about. And even when I have my own issues, they're like, "Girl, go take a seat," or you know, like. You know, so it's about boundary. So I believe in boundaries, right? I create boundaries. So and if you step on my boundaries, I'll let you know.
Period.
So bad relationship? No, I've never really. Like had a very nasty.
No, that is a blessing. Okay, I don't really think there's like a right or wrong way to deal with a bad relationship. There's not even anything that I could because I've been through a breakup. Okay, and I can't even just be like, okay, yeah, this helped. Like, there's nothing. I did so much. Like, I work out a lot. I write. I listen to music. Sometimes I just drive, and nothing helped. So it's just like there's no particular thing that will actually help you. It's just really time. And it sounds so cliche, and I hate it because like every time in the actual moment, it's like, what do you do? Like, what can you do? But it's like, it literally is just time. Like, there's nothing, I mean, maybe for anybody else, y'all can speak up. But for me in particular, like, there was nothing that really just, there's things that you can do to take your mind off of it. And there's things that you can do to kind of like, I guess, self-heal. But I think the biggest thing that actually did help me though is, one of the things was like actually taking time to realize like, okay, this had to be for a reason. So picking out those reasons every day. And then it wasn't until like probably like months later and I was just like, okay, this is the reason why I didn't work. And this is the this is what I need to work on within myself. And that's probably added to the reason why I didn't work. But again, like there's things that you can do to take your mind off. Like I said, working out. You know, and honestly, don't be afraid to talk to your friends too. Like, there was times where I'm really reserved, and there was times that I didn't even like. It wasn't until like we're getting onto the podcast, and like I'm hearing different experiences from my co-host, and I'm just like, dang, like I ain't the only crazy one in this world. Okay, cool. So yeah, don't be afraid to talk to your friends because sometimes like being able to relate to somebody it helps because it's just like you know you ain't the only one going crazy. You ain't the only one that's been going through some shit. So. Sorry, I don't know if I can. Yeah, don't be afraid to talk to people and just don't be afraid to try different things. Like, I personally never was, like, a writer, but, like, going through something and then being able to, like, journal, like, what exactly, like, how, like, process my emotions, like, how I felt. And also listening to different podcasts as well. Like, I'm a huge podcaster, so I listen to a lot of people and a lot of different experiences and hearing them and how, like, they overcome it. And just kind of putting my mind off of it is something that, helped me a lot. So again, there's no right or wrong. There's no like one particular thing. I just think time. And you know, sometimes it takes a couple weeks, sometimes it takes a couple months, sometimes it may take a year, but you just have to allow yourself time to heal because you know, when I was going through a breakup, it was just like, dang, like I really want to talk to this person. I really want to tell him like how, not to just rekindle things, just like, I want to tell you how I feel. And for me in that, like when I would do that, it would make me feel better. So, and it, again, it wasn't just to be like, oh, can we get back together? It was just like, dang, let me just tell you how I feel so I could be better for myself. So I guess it just depends on like where you are in the relationship and like how you guys deal with each other. But, you know, sometimes I feel like you trying to be this like, oh, let me block him. Like sometimes that could hurt you a little bit more in the long run. So it's just like, I feel like do whatever you need to do so you can heal within yourself. That way it's just like, so if you feel like you got to contact him, hit him up, pop up. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, I'm going to ask the last two questions. Would you financially support who you're with if they're going through something? If, you know, they've lost a job, they've... If you're in a relationship versus when you are married.
So, okay. So I guess I'll speak from both. So when I was in a relationship... probably the first answer would be no, definitely not. I think up until I met my husband right now, I had a lot of maturing to do in terms of what my, the role, like Ruthie was talking about kind of, or I think earlier we were talking about, you know, we raise up women to be wives, right? But there's no kind of idea of women to be, of men to be husbands. For me, I think I'm in the same boat as Ruthie. It's my dad and four girls. So it was always, I knew what a husband was supposed to be. So I had that. That was outlined, period, you know. So it was always, what can the man give to me? What can the man give to me? What can the man give to me? Until I met my current husband, that he just made me just kind of recalculate so many things about life, just from the way that he approached me, right? Like, it's not that he was, you know, he would withhold something or anything like that. He would give. But then after he gave, he would ask me for something. And then if I didn't do it, he wouldn't get upset, but he would be like, why, like, what made you hold back? Why didn't you give that to me? And then that kind of made me start to process, you know what? When it gets to a point where it's marriage or you see a future with this person, there has to be some form of give and take. It can't just be, what is this man going to do for me? What is this man going to do? Because you also have to think about it for yourself. What if somebody constantly did that to you? It's absolutely draining when you know you have to give yourself all the time to this person and they're not willing to meet you even a quarter of the way. And so I would say, you know, when I was young, my relationship, it would be a hard no, like, don't even ask me, never, ever. But once you start to get, maybe not even marriage, but you start to get to a point where you're in a solid relationship, you see that there is a future with this person, there's so many things that line up, you have to understand life happens. It could happen to you. What if like it was turned around and he, you know, his pockets were stacked and he was just like, oh, you're not bringing anything now, okay, he's just gonna drop you. Like, how would that make you feel when you know this is definitely somebody that I can have a future with? So I think once that's definitely in the back of your mind, you should be able to at least be able to like, okay, well, I'll help you throughout this time, but what are kind of steps to get you back on track, right? So if it's kind of like, oh, well, now that, you know, you're kind of the one putting out, I'm just gonna kind of be, you know, you start to see laziness or things like that, like he's not trying to be on a path to get back to where he is, then I would say that's when you need to recalculate. But if you see somebody genuinely stepping up, he just needs somebody to lift him up, you have to be that for your man. You have to be, because that ride or die, like the guy had said, it that means so much to a man when he knows that, yo, like, this is my woman, like, she has me no matter what. If it's somebody who's mature, if it's somebody who's mature and really understands, like really has a relationship, a long-term relationship mentality, that's going to mean so much to him. He's going to know, okay, this is definitely, this is wifey material right here. So kind of the long and short of it.
Okay. I guess, because I know everyone's been probably the opposite. I feel like for me, like in like when I was younger, I was very much the opposite. Like I very much did believe in like give and take, because the City Girls was not when I was younger, so I didn't know about all that. So jokes. No, what I mean was like, I think when I was younger, I was very much into like building people, and I don't know what that was about me. I felt like I just kept finding like broken men, but I found myself just pouring into all these men, and just like after a while, you keep pouring into somebody, you feel empty. You know what I mean? So I was kind of like, as I did grow older and mature in relationships, I started finding where, like, I don't want a man who needs to be built. Like, I need you to come full built. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, I'm just not into that anymore. And I know it may seem harsh, you know what I mean? But that's kind of how I vet people out, because at the end of the day, I feel like I'm grown. Like, 30 is around the corner. You know what I mean? And at this age, the men I'm looking for need to be in their 30s. That's, I mean, God willing, I hope you bring me somebody older than me. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like at that age, I don't even need to be plan B. I need to be plan Z. I need you to have that much pride as a man that you need to get your shit together, that you don't need to come to me and ask anything from me. I need you to have that much of your ish together. Like, because I feel like sometimes guys these days, like, I'm not saying it's lazy, but, like, they use women kind of just, like, as their go-to when things get rough. And it's just like, at the end of the day, you don't know what she's going through. You don't know what you have on your plate. I may not even have enough money for me. And now, you know, as a woman, I feel the need to protect you. So I may be giving you food off my plate just to make sure that you can eat. And I feel like as a man, that's your job to be doing that for me. No, see, okay, look, and that's what I'm saying. Like, after we've built that foundation of me knowing who you are as a provider and me knowing what your work ethic is like, then I know the sacrifice it takes for you to even come to ask me for that, because I know it's out of character for you. So I can appreciate even that request from you and knowing, like, dang, it took him so much. I know this man would never ask me for nothing unless he really needs it. So then as a wife, then it's like, okay, it's teamwork. Like, if you don't got it, we don't got it. You know what I mean? Then it's like, then I'm pouring into us. I'm not just pouring into you, you know? So that's my take on it.
Okay, so let me say this. My mom taught me from a very young age that what makes, there's a difference between a boy and a real man. And a real man is always going to make sure that he has his stuff together. He's going to make sure he has a way from point A to point B. He's going to have food in his mouth, and he's going to have a way to pay for his bills, you know? And my mom taught us that, like, when my older sister kind of started to date and things like that. And so I would kind of have to base that in a relationship and a marriage. I feel like for me, my husband should never get to that point where he's so low that he has nothing. There should always be not only a plan B, but a plan C and a plan D. So if you, like you said, there's people in here that are making money and not saving. So if you are at a point where you have a consistent income, you should be saving for those hard times, where it shouldn't be a thing where one day you just come to me and you're saying, hey, like, the savings is drained. And now I've lost my job, and now you're the sole income provider. You know, I don't think my husband would ever, or my future husband would ever, put me in a position like that, especially, like, blindsided. So for me, no. Like, I would not support a man, because at the end of the day, he should always have backup plans.
So I just want to say one thing. I think I'm always a person that it always depends on the situation. Always depends on the situation. I think, and even with the question, you know, saying, like, it depends on how also you look at it. Because when she says, will you financially support? Okay, does that mean that he's trying to open a new business and he's asking you, you know, like, just for this one, you know, time? Does that mean you're going to support him for one whole year or 2 years? You know what I mean? So I think it just depends. And I guess the one example I would give is my mom. When my mom and my dad had been married for like 40 something years now. And when they first got together, my dad was getting his PhD. And my mom used to say that, you know, back then making 75 cents or something was like, you know, you're making a lot. And she said that she would always give my dad like almost 50 to 75% of what she had, because she was like working in some kind of like a smaller job or something. And so she just, and they were just dating. They weren't even married then. But she said she saw what he was trying to do. You know, saw the potential in him. And to her, it wasn't like, she would always say, it wasn't like I'm financially supporting you. You don't put that label, when you put that label on it, then it becomes something that's like a negative thing, you know? But she was sewing into what he was doing. And now you would never know how much they really make, right? Because that's not what it was about. So I think it just depends on the situation.
I would also say, I agree with that. I think it completely depends on the situation. And a basic relationship is significantly different than a marriage, because you make a commitment in death do us part, for richer, for poorer. And that's a commitment that is going to test you, and you never know. Just like, will we leave if someone cheated? You don't know until maybe it's happened to you. What are you going to do if somebody hits you? Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to have it happen, but I don't know. You know, how was it like to have a baby? What kind of mom am I going to be? We don't know until we've had a child. Then, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. No, you don't know that. So the same thing for this, I think that it's so crucial to understand, what, like, for example, my husband now, well, fiance now, husband, so we got married, and he has been trying to pay off credit card debt and all that fun stuff, almost done. So for his birthday gift, instead of getting him whatever he asked me for, I gifted him a large sum of money, because so that he could finish, complete the thing, which he was like, that is an amazing gift, right? It's not tangible. You can't wear it out and show you on Instagram. But it's a gift that's going to keep giving because we have a goal to build a legacy. So it's not just to have stuff. It's because we want to make sure that I'm supporting him. And I want to just say that support can be more than just financial support. So are you supporting him with your words? Are you the girl who wants to go out and have date night and be wearing this? Can you buy me this? I saw it on Kim Kardashian. I saw it on Cardi B. Can you buy it for me? I saw it, I want to go on this vacation because they went to Croatia this summer. I want to go too. The poor boy is struggling. Man. Inside, he's like, oh, damn. Like, I know I'm going to do overtime at work. I'm going to have to do Uber, whatever it may be, so that he can get you the thing you want. And then you bitching at him because, I don't know if I can say it on the podcast, but, right? Y'all can edit. Y'all, he's slaving away because of what you want, and now you getting at him for being in a financial issue in the first place. Have you thought about the financial strain you're putting on your men or the men you want to be closer with? You have to think about that because that is a worry that they may have as well, that they're catering to you, which is causing them like more potential stress. And number two, I will just close with this. I think it takes a man who is letting go of his ego and his pride to find creative ways to provide. So if he is like, I'm a doctor, my practice is suffering, but we just gonna do this and we're gonna come out the way and present like a physician. But deep down, he's not man enough to go and drive Uber, to go and do some handyman job that he can, so he can provide. But he'd rather just be like, I'm a doctor. Come on, see me now. See, Oga. He would rather do that than find a creative way to provide. Maybe he can do consulting at medical schools. Something. Use your head, my friend. Use your head. So that you can provide. But instead, you wanna just do that and cause financial stress. And now it's a question of, will you provide financially for your person, right? It's a matter of, are the men going to be mature enough to figure out a way to still provide and have savings, all of those things we've talked about, right? So, I think support goes way beyond financial. Are you supporting him emotionally? Are you trying to stay in sometimes? You see him struggling. You're not trying to go out to go eat all the time. You're not trying to do the most. So I think those things are super important to support your man.
Hello, everybody, again. Hi. Well, like Michelle said earlier, I'm one of those people. I can give 110% into somebody. But the thing about me that's bad that I've learned over the years is that I can't be giving so much to somebody and then it's, okay, don't worry about giving it back to me because then I get empty. And so like I've dated, like back in college, I literally thought that being a ride or die was like it. You know, I thought that, you know, if you want to drive my car, drive my car. You know, I used to legitimately drive from my university. I dang a guy, an African-American. And I thought that, okay, I want him to want me. He had a lot of girls. And I was like, I'm going to stand out. So by standing out, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to ride or die. He's a frat boy. I was cooking for the whole Kappa house. Like, I was doing too much.
Way deep.
Like, it was, I literally, and like, when I tell you that guy messed with my self-esteem, like I was, you know, Instagram started, you know, popping and stuff like that. All the big booty girls were there, you know, my booty little. So I would, no, and you know, and it's crazy because like he was, you know, going through some stuff and I knew it. So, you know, I was like, okay, I worked. You know, if I made, say, $1,000 in 1 week, I would have no problem spending $500 or $600 on him. And when I say on him, I'm not talking about buying him no Gucci shoes or nothing. I'm talking about like, you know, here's money for your tuition. Here's money for your brother who's going to, you know, and needs court fees. Like I was doing a lot. Like it was so bad. Like, and then I still wanted to be cute. So I would go to sleep with makeup on, you know, like it was that bad. Like I would literally, it was so toxic. And so, but I thought, okay, I'm a ride or die. I'm gonna be the best option for him because no other girl's doing this, but I wasn't sleeping with him. So when I found out he was sleeping with another girl, I was like so emotionally jacked up. So then my next relationship was with a really nice Nigerian guy. He just finished. He's in medical school. He's in residency now. That guy gave me the world. Never asked me for a penny. And all the money I wasted on the guy before, I started not having money anymore. And then this new guy was pouring so much into me and I was empty. I couldn't pour back into him because I was a ride or die for the wrong person. You know, and then when he and I broke up, and it's talking about how you get over a bad breakup, almost took me like 2 years to get over that next guy because he poured so much into me. Like when I had no money to eat, everybody else would think, oh, Cece has money. Oh, she I don't have money. And this guy would really like pour into me. And I'm just like, wow, I'm just so empty. I can't give that back because I gave so much of that to the other person. So growing up in relationships, I still was dealing with broken men. Even after him, I was like, okay, I had a guy in DC I was dating. You know, he was a little weird. Like, but I would even go and I would even alter his resumes to help him get a higher paying job, because financially support comes in different ways. You know, I might not just be giving you money, but I can plug you to a job, you know. And it got to the point where he was just like, you know, you're not my mom. What? And I'm like, oh, well, yeah. But at the same time, I look at it as an investment. I look at things, assets and liabilities. You're not going to date somebody you don't see yourself marrying. Right. And growing up, sometimes we make a little bit of poor decisions. But now, as I stand with all the things that I've learned, I think somebody said they want a man to come already ready, already built, everything. The problem with that, though, and it happens, some controlling. Some men can be very controlling when they already have it all together. They have their whole world. They have their money together. They have their career together. They have their own house. And then you, as a woman, now come into that world. He's God. That's what happened to my aunt. One of my aunts, like, she married a really nice guy. But that man had his life together. So not anything with money, anything. He's the one that controls everything. And I would rather be in a mutually agreeing relationship where, you know, you may not be 110%. I may not be 110%. But at least we're both on the same path and we're both going to grow. You know, so that's really how I feel. But in case of marriage, I think this question was also with marriage. I mean, you putting money in there, I think somebody said a joint bank account. Oh, that was Ozioma. Like, stuff like that is important, because when you have kids and people depending on you, all that financial stuff, if your husband has an L, if he has a business and the business crashes down, sometimes it might eat up your savings. You just never know. You can't really necessarily say, oh, no, well, you should have had a plan Z. But nobody ever thinks like, okay, my business fails, but then all of the money to try to save it goes out the window. And then if it does, you don't know, in 10, 15 years, he might be 10 times as rich. And you already left him for another man. So circumstances, maturity, and just knowing who that person is before marrying them. Because now me, if you don't know how to do with finances, me, I don't want it.
The culmination of all of this is, at the end of the day, we all have our own expectations. We all have our own preferences as to what we're wanting, what we're looking for. But I think it all boils down to a conversation. Being able to, okay, if you see that this person is someone that has, I don't want to say, potential to be the one or the right one for you, or brings you balance, because I never believe that somebody completes you. I believe that you're already complete, but I believe he can be your complement. If you find somebody who is your complement, these are the conversations about your sexual needs, your financial responsibilities. Like, how is this going to work? Where is our balance? And then being able to move forward from there. That's what this is all about, being able to form a conversation and be comfortable enough and transparent enough and vulnerable enough to be like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm needing. What do you need? How do we make this work together? Because we're so used to, especially if you're over 30, being independent and doing stuff by ourselves, that now bringing another person into that, that's a different dynamic. Now there's compromise. There's, okay, well, how do we fuse this? How do we make this work? And you just have to know what works for the two of you. And not allow your family, your friends, to be that influence, because they're not the ones in the relationship. They're not the ones in the marriage. You have to go home to this every day. They don't. So that's sex, love, and relationship, ladies.
So we really wanted to tell you guys thank you. So first of all, Ozzy asked me today. She's like, you know every single person in here, right? I was like, no, not really. So for us, it's like blowing our minds that people actually... And this is Mansfield, Texas. This is not no Dallas. This is not Las Colinas. This ain't no, you know, this is far. This is far. So we can't, like, let you just leave and not tell you, like, our sincere, like, how much we appreciate you. And we thank you for being a part of, you know, our journey. And, Ozzy, you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you so, so much. Like, when we thought about this live podcast, we were advertising it and all that. And I was like, where are we going to get people from? Like, do we actually have people who are going to pay to come listen to us talk about stuff? And I'm so grateful that you guys did that. It's so encouraging. Like, people are out. And you guys, your comments are, like, really, really crazy. And I love it. Because that's what life is. Like, we all don't see things the same way. And it's important to learn that even if you see things differently, I see things differently. That's okay. Like, that's your truth. That's my truth. That's okay. And so I think that one thing I'm taking away with me from this is just the experiences that we all have. We all have something in common. And tonight we've been able to share that, and I really appreciate that. Thank you guys for coming out. When the peace goes, oh, oh, when the peace goes.
listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you.